Chapter 16. Commandment. Mei Ling looked on as the wine was exchanged, trying to keep her eyes dry. Ting Feng and Mei Hua's heads bowed three times towards the west, right when the sun started to set. Yao Che and Ting Feng's father and grandfather bowed to each other, and then it was done. It had been several months in the making, this wedding, and now Mei Ling's best friend would be a two-day journey away instead of right next door. Their parting would hurt, but Mei Ling would endure it. She was happy that her friend had married someone she actually liked. Ting Feng was a good man, and he would take care of her. She tried not to cry as Mei Hua caught her gaze, unshed tears gathering at the corner of her eyes. In the absence of her deceased mother, it was Mei Ling who had done the traditional dressing of the bride. She was the one who had helped to hand her away. Mei Hua's smile towards her was radiant. It was like the sun moved on a whim to perfectly illuminate her face, and the decorations around her took on a vibrant new life. Her red dress blazed with the sun. Mei Ling guessed that it was just her emotions getting the better of her. But for now, their participation was at its end. The young couple departed to their rooms, and the feast began. Mei Ling's heart was full of joy, though there was a dark spot in the proceedings that had come out of nowhere. Mei Ling had expected this to be a joyous day, a time for thanksgiving and a time to enjoy herself after the union was done. And yet, something had happened the previous night. Jin's once warm and refreshing scent had churned and boiled like an untended cauldron. He smelled wrong. It made her a bit nauseous, being so close. Last night, his face had been pale, and his mannerisms were off. She knew something must have really disturbed him, since he told her to leave instead of making even a token effort of getting her to sleep beside him. Because of that, she had braved the smell and held him tightly, no matter how much her stomach roiled. Her presence seemed to have been a balm, and most of the ugly churning had died down. When she had slipped out of his embrace in the morning, he was almost completely scentless. But then Jin started leaking, for the lack of a better word. The smell was slightly too sweet, like overripe fruit. It was minute, but it was there, an undercurrent to his normal scent. Oh, sure, he had acted like his usual self for most of the day. He took Go Zhen's prank with his normal good humor and brought her little brother out for a walk to return the goat, coming back with a kitten from the grateful owner. Jin had seemed bemused by the entire thing, and now the cat was sleeping in his carriage. But his smiles were slightly off, and his brow was clenched with worry, even as he laughed with other guests and enjoyed the festivities. Eventually, he had seemed to tire of even this and wandered away to go and sit in the carts. Mei Ling smiled at her father and begged off some of the festivities. She picked up a pitcher of rice wine and a platter of dumplings and went to find him. They wouldn't be missed, and things were starting to get rowdy. There would be many hangovers the next day, that she was sure of, and nothing left to dull the edge. She found Jin sitting on his cart, absent-mindedly stroking his kitten. "What should I name you, little girl? Pushy?" His lips quirked slightly into a smile. "Nah, that's just rude. You're gonna be a good girl. And though you may be a girl, this one is a powerful name from a powerful, wonderful tiger. Tiguler sounds good, right?" The kitten yowled, snuggling into him. Mei Ling said nothing as she clambered into the carriage beside him, setting down the plate and the bottle. Jin looked slightly surprised, but he smiled at her. "You're too good to me, you know that?" His crooked grin softened slightly as he looked at her. "Keep spoiling me so much and I'll become a useless man."
"Then I'll just have to set you straight again if that happens," she declared.
Jin laughed, took a dumpling, and downed a swig from the pitcher. They lapsed into silence for a while, listening to the shouts and the laughter of people having a good time. Jin's face was set into a frown. Something was obviously still bothering him. The bear? Mei Ling didn't know, but she did know the best way to get to that topic was by talking.
"Jin?"
she asked, and he flinched slightly, turning to look at her.
"Yeah?"
"You've said you're from Raging Waterfall Gorge before, but what kind of place did you grow up in?"
He paused and his brow furrowed.
"I've never told you what city I was from,"
He seemed surprised that it had slipped his mind. His eyes defocused again as he reminisced. Crimson Crucible City, out above Demon's Grave Ravine. It's a city. Most cities are the same everywhere you go. Noisy, crowded, lots of people looking to make it big, and the gutters are filled with those that didn't. He frowned. Never liked the city, or any city, really. I'll go to one if I have to, but I much prefer it out there. He gestured in the vague direction of her village and his farm. He handed her the wine, and she took a swig.
That's far away. Dangerous, too. The things that live near Demon's Grave Ravine make the spirit beasts here look like normal animals.
She leaned closer to him.
Is it true that the city gets attacked by demons?
She whispered. Jen nodded. I saw it once. Well, kind of. You don't really see much through the defensive formations. Most people just keep on doing what they're doing. If the formation falls, everybody's dead anyway, so no sense in worrying about it. Mei Ling could scarcely imagine it. To just go about your life while demons battered at the gates? She had seen drawings in scrolls of them before, but somehow they seemed more fantastical than cultivators. They were all devilish bodies and corrosive chi. She handed the pitcher back.
Who taught you how to cultivate?
She asked. Gramps, my grandfather. Well, he wasn't really my grandfather. He picked me up off the street after my parents died of the demon's black hate. Watching somebody vomit up their entire stomach is, well, it was pretty gross, I'll be honest. Jin grimaced, obviously replaying the memory. Mei Ling shuddered too. The reagents to cure it were expensive enough to buy the entirety of Verdant Hill twice over. He got me off the street and started training me. He was an old drunk, but he never seemed to run out of money. I never did advance as fast as he wanted me to. You're not done yet, he'd shout. Then I'd call him an old bastard, we'd fight, and then we'd have dinner. But he cared for me. He fed me. He took care of me. He was the only person I had. Jin's eyes went a bit misty as he reminisced. He took a moment and then shook his head, dispelling the memory. After a couple of years, Gramps said I was strong enough and that he had to leave. Seemed pretty upset about it. Told me I should join a sect. Jin traded her the pitcher again.
Did you?
She assumed he must not have and instead traveled to the Azure Hills, likely to get away from all the demons. She took a swig from the pitcher. Yeah, the Cloudy Sword Sect. Mei Ling spat out her drink and started coughing.
Cloudy Sword,
she thought, her mouth dropping open.
That was one of the most powerful sects out there. The indomitable Cloudy Sword Sect, bane of demons, masters of the raging Cloudy Sword Formation. He left that?
Jin shrugged. I basically did what I do now, just with more spirit herbs. Lots of menial labor and fixing things. I was barely an outer sect disciple. So I did the laundry, the maintenance, and grew the spirit herbs. Fifth stage of the initiate's realm isn't much out there. Jin's grin was rueful. Still, even if he had barely been a disciple at the Cloudy Sword Sect, the fifth stage of the initiate's realm? That was nearly into the profound realm. The Azure Hill's strongest sects had core disciples that were barely into the third stage of the initiate's realm. Even the pebbles of Cloudy Sword were the mountains of the Azure Hills. She shook her head.
Jin, why did you leave?
She felt thankful that he left and came to their village, but she had to know why. He took the pitcher back from her and had a big swig. He stared at the moon with a frown on his face. Eventually, he answered her after the silence started to drag. I got into a fight. It was a stupid fight. One of the inner sect disciples was looking for somebody to trade pointers with, and I didn't get out of the way in time. He kicked the shit out of me. I don't even remember his name. But I had broken ribs, a shattered arm, the works. He nearly killed me. Well, I guess he did kill me. My heart stopped, at least. Mei Ling felt ill at the confession. Her mouth went dry as Jin cataloged his injuries. He took another swig. The people who dragged me back to my room decided that they deserved a reward for being so kind to me and ransacked it because there wasn't anything I could do to stop them. As I was lying there, bleeding and broken, I thought, what the hell is the point of all of this? All the fighting, all the stealing, the obsessively hoarding power, the race to get ahead and ascend. I realized that I didn't care about it. That ascension, that power, it wasn't something that I wanted to pursue if I had to keep company with those people. He looked back at her, his eyes full of conviction. If men like these rule the heavens, then I want nothing to do with them. I'll make my own slice of paradise right here. The hardness in his eyes faded. Jin shrugged again. So I left. Maybe I'm trying to justify my own cowardice. Maybe I could have mustered some noble reason to continue, like, I'll get strong and protect everybody. But at the end of the day, I chose to be a farmer. He paused again, looking at her, and his eyes turned sad. Although, maybe I didn't leave that stuff behind as much as I thought. He stared at his hand and took a breath. For a brief moment, it felt like Mei Ling was drowning, so heady was the scent of the harvest. It was like loamy soil clogging her nose. From his hand swirled green light, chi so thick it roiled through the air like a liquid. I'm afraid, he whispered. I'm afraid of what I'll do. This kind of power, what if I do something horrible with it? What if I become just like them? His normal smile had been replaced with a grimace of distress. His warm eyes were full of fear. Mei Ling replied without thinking.
The answer is simple. Don't.
The green light cut out. He looked like she had just hit him over the head with a shovel.
Just don't?
Mei Ling swallowed, casting around to try and salvage the conversation.
Correct. In fact, you're not allowed to become like them. You have a home to look after. You're not allowed to go gallivanting around the countryside getting into fights. Your wife forbids it.
She crossed her arms and stuck her nose up into the air imperiously while she screamed internally.
There was silence.
Mei Ling idly wondered what she was doing, commanding a cultivator. Jin burst out laughing. The kitten on his lap yowled in anger and leapt off him, glaring as it settled in her lap instead. He laughed so hard he dropped the jug of wine, clutching his stomach. It didn't shatter, but it fell on its side, spilling the last dregs of it into the cobblestone. She flushed. Was he making fun of her? What did she know of cultivation? Maybe that was dumb. The sickly sweet smell went away. Jin grinned at her with his stupid grin.
Just don't? I think I can do that. Thanks, Mei Mei.
The brightness returned to his eyes, and his shoulders stopped slumping. He let out a breath, then ran his hand along the side of the carriage, snapping off some of the twigs that had grown there.
It's good you became a farmer, she said quietly. Any good man would want to rid himself of such company.
The tales of murderous, raping cultivators sprang to her mind.
And I don't think you're a coward either. Cowards don't fight to stop girls they barely know from getting taken by scum.
Jin sighed, like a weight had been taken from his shoulders. His smile was still a bit crooked, but he seemed back to his normal self.
Yeah, I think you're right,
he declared, with increasing conviction. She smacked him on the shoulder.
Now stop moping. Honestly, today is supposed to be a joyous one, and you've been out here worrying. Now come, you have a party to attend.
You got it, Mei Mei, he replied, then chuckled again.
He hopped out of the carriage and held his arm out to escort her. Mei Ling smiled at him and gently set the kitten off to the side onto a blanket. They began to make their way back to the party, stepping over cracks filled with grass.
Just don't, huh? He muttered, as she dragged him into a dance.